You can do it if you want, Stan.
Nope.
Good morning. Oh, I got to read something. That was sweet worship. Thinking about that one song, thinking about what's going to happen when we stand before Jesus and we're in his presence in heaven. It's going to be good. So here's a reading from the last book of the Bible, Revelation. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Yeah. That's what we're here for. We're here to magnify, lift up, honor, praise, and worship Jesus Christ. If you came here to see us, well, you lost it. it's not about us. It's about Jesus, and it's about walking with him and working together, all of us working together to build up the body of Christ, to help you, to have you help us, to bring us all closer to Christ and to be the men and the women that he calls us to be. Bibles are good. This is the Word of God, and we have Bibles here. If somebody needs a Bible, for some reason, when we were worshiping, I had this thought that there's an 8-year-old person here that needs a Bible. Is that the case? Is there an 8-year-old boy or girl that needs a Bible that doesn't have one? Oh, they left. Okay. Well, even if you're not 8 years old, if you would like a Bible, we've got a Bible here. I'll give you one right now if you like. You got one, Lynn. How many do you want? She's sending her mom one. Seriously, does anybody else want a Bible? Need a Bible? Raymond's saying yes. But okay, another real quick thing. You'll notice I only brought two with me, but up here, but we'll get some more. There are, you'll notice too out in the lobby, there's a couple of bookshelves. If you see something there, this isn't a library. If you see a book there that you like, take it. Okay, just take it. If there's a book there that you think will help. Later on, after Stan preaches, there'll be people here that will pray with us. Because life isn't always fun. Sometimes we have a child that is giving us grief. Maybe we have a parent or a spouse or a neighbor. Maybe our bones or our muscles or something inside of us is giving us grief. Maybe you're struggling with finances. Jesus wants to meet us and walk with us in life, and he knows what we're going through, and he wants to meet with us. He wants to come and put his arms around us. And so give him that chance here later to have people pray with you and have the Spirit of God speak to you. and bring that healing and hope and joy that we're sometimes missing. Alvin, you want to say a bit about musk cheese? And I thought there was something else I was supposed to say. Anyways, there you go, buddy.
Hallelujah. Amen. Margaret has something to say. We just got back from holidays on Wednesday night, and just coming through the mountains. A lot of smoke in the mountains. But where we were, there was a little bit of fire there, but not that much. But anyway, Friday night, we had a worship service began in Muscogees. And so it went for 24 hours. We started Friday night, 7 o'clock, till 7 o'clock last night. And the 24-hour burn, this ministry is worldwide. It's going on in different countries worldwide. And it's producing a fruit in the salvation, the glory to Jesus Christ. Anytime you worship Jesus, I tell you, he's going to draw people to himself. Amen? So there was one man that gave his heart to the Lord. There was some good testimonies. This one kid, maybe about 12, 13 years old, and he's a rapper. God has given him some songs. And the things that he's gone through, he's lived without a dad. And he's gone to school in the city here, and people were mocking him. You know, he's hangs out with the girls more so, more comfortable with the girls because his mom and stuff, and not having a dad, eh? And so there's a lot of families out there with, you know, fatherless, maybe motherless. Amen. So this young kid just gets up there and very nervous, but he ended up sharing his heart. Holy smokes, you know, just powerful. And the thoughts of suicide are prevalent, you know, thoughts of taking his own life and stuff. And so he shared just from his heart, and really touched everyone. And if that 24-hour burn was just for that young man, just to get up and to unload, I'll tell you, it was worth it. That young boy, I tell you. And just a real heart-wrenching testimony that he had. But there was just a knitting of hearts together for God's purposes in Muscogees. Just different people from different places through central Alberta. Had some people in from the States. Had Grand Chief Willie Littlechild showed up. He's the chief, one of the head chiefs for Treaty 6 and stuff like this. And so he was able to share. And according to his word, he's a Christian. And so, so things like that were happening. But just a real networking of knitting our hearts together for God's kingdom there. And just to worship and just throughout the whole night. You know, I can't say I stayed up the whole night because it's just, physically for me, impossible. But if you're a young buck, young person, the next time we have one, you know, come and join us. Stay throughout the night. There was worship. Dave Grobe came. He worshiped from 2 to 3 o'clock. You know, after he left the Lotus, he came over there and worshiped there and various. So it went right throughout the whole night in, you know, even when it was raining. So they had some cover. We had some covers. So we had some downpour. So it's just the idea that the rain is coming. We're expecting the rain of the Holy Spirit to come in that community. Amen? It's been decimated by suicide. Last year alone, there were 70 suicides in Muscogees as a whole. You know, 70, you know, and stuff. So, you know, anytime we come in there and worship, we're destroying the powers of the enemy over that area. Amen? And so we prayed a lot, prayed into it. A lot of prayers was going up. A lot of worship was going up. Amen? And we just believe it's the start of something that is just going to expand and grow and flourish there. Because worship, you know, it's because it brings different churches together. You know, normally they wouldn't, eh? If you're a Baptist, you wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, with people raising their hands. You know, you just sit there and da-da-da-da. But, worship transcends that. You know, worship just, we want to exalt the living God. Amen? And so it was just so good to see all the different peoples coming together, different nationalities and various things. So praise God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. So, Stan, where's our fearless leader? Oh, Raymond. Raymond has something to share. give you 2 seconds.
Thank you. Wasn't though was that worship just right on? To me, it was right on. After spending 24 hours worshiping God and just lifting up out in nature like this, the intermittent rain, we call it heavenly rain, rain of the Holy Spirit, and it was just an aura there that just felt so great. And then just as we were ending at 7 o'clock, just before 7, a torrential rain came down. It hit the tin roof around the powwow grounds like hail, but it just seemed to be increasing until it slowed down and went away, and we all had a group hug, and there's this awesome rainbow over Moscowcheese. That's God's reward for lifting the whole nation up to Him, you know. And the music this morning just cemented that in me, and I just feel the Holy Spirit is going to do marvelous things there, because if revival needs to continue, it needs to go through First Nations perhaps, and maybe to end this thing about suicides over there, but also to spread to us and then to the whole nation. But it's going to come in the West, right, first, and it's coming. God is real. God is good.
It's a little excited. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I just want to pray for Stan, Lord God, that you just undertake for him, Lord God, and his physical health, Lord God, just right now, just undertake, Lord God. Let the word of God just come forth through him and into our hearts. Open up our hearts to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Did I hear an amen there? Yeah, there we go. I don't want to show up Don. He had those really nice, cute little Bibles. I don't know if he's even here, but there he is. But if you want a real Bible, I got a bag of them. So thanks to Jerry Hunt, who keeps hunting for these things and finding them at different thrift stores. You can see me or Don after. The only requirement is, if you're going to take one of those nice Bibles, is you got to read them. Don't just take it and put it on your shelf, all right? If you need a Bible, we got Bibles for you. You can get a nice little cute one, or you can get a big, thick, heavy one. The point is we just want to come and know God and know His Word. We want to be people of His Word. We want to grow in that truth, because there's so much out there that isn't true at all. And the only thing we know for certain is what God's given us. Amen? Just one other thing before I open the Word is that in our kitchen, there's a whole bunch of lettuce and beet stuff. I don't know what you call that beet stuff, but beet greens. I never even knew I liked beet greens until my wife started to throw them into our salads a little bit at a time, just one first and then a couple of them, and right? And all of a sudden, one day we're eating this red stuff. I'm going, well, what is with lettuce these days, you know? It's red and it's different. She says, well, that's beet greens. And you've been eating them for a number of months and you like them. I says, and I said, yes, dear. So they're in the kitchen from her wonderful garden, and you're just asked to take a bag. Remember, there's probably a lot of people that want some, so just take enough for maybe a small meal, and it's for you. This morning we read in the Gospel of Mark, so I invite you to turn in your Bibles, the Gospel of Mark, kind of carrying off a little bit from where we were last week, because you know that's kind of how I feel the Holy Spirit often leads in my life. I'm not always done with one message. We've been talking about the price and the cost of salvation, what it costs God for us to be forgiven, what it costs for us to be able to have salvation, what amazing gift it was for the Father to send His Son, that there was no other way for us to be saved but through Jesus Christ. And that sometimes, and I was trying to make that point last week, that sometimes we sell that short when we tell people about Jesus. And we tell people a lot of times something that isn't really true. We say, you don't need to do anything. You know, we try to sugarcoat it almost. And we want to make the Christian life just as easy as possible. Just come, you know, just put your hand up and now you're it. And you don't need to do anything. There's no cost involved in this. And that's not really true. And those of you who are living the Christian life, I don't need to convince you of this, because you know that there is a cost to following Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's persecution, and sometimes we're not very popular in school, or sometimes we've got to stand up for something that we don't want to stand up for, but we do, because we believe in Jesus and we know what he wants us to do. Well, in this passage, Jesus himself talks about the cost. So we're going to read that today. In Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 27, and we start with the story of Peter's confession of Jesus. Mark 8, verse 27. So Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked them this question, "Who do people say that I am?" And they replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and that after 3 days rise again. And he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Did you hear that? That's kind of an odd thing to happen. We can't just pass over. I want to talk about this in a minute, right? Jesus is talking about how, hey, you know what? I'm going to have to die. The Son of Man has to die. The Son of Man's going to have to give up his life for you to be forgiven, for you to have eternal life. It's going to cost me my life. And then Peter came up to him and said, well, you know, we don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Can you just kind of get a little brighter around here? You know, don't talk about dying. And he rebuked Jesus. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciple, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said this. Now listen to this. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory and with the holy angels." And then he said to them, "I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." Amen? It was a pretty good day for Peter. He was doing pretty well. He was being commended for his good answer, and he was quick. He was on his feet. You know, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "I know the answer to that one. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." I think Matthew tells us the whole thing that Peter says. And Peter's going, "I did pretty good. Got that one. Nailed it. Nailed it." But it's not very long before that commendation turns to condemnation, because Peter decides that he's going to take Jesus aside and say, "You know, Jesus, we don't want to hear all this talk about you dying. It is a downer. And no one wants to listen to this. You dying, you go into the cross." Because, of course, Peter still thought that Jesus was going to be an earthly king. He couldn't conceive of him, you know, giving up his life. He couldn't conceive of him being crucified. So Peter takes Jesus aside and he says, "Jesus, you know, I'm going to rebuke you. Don't talk like that. You're our leader. You're going to live. You're going to overthrow the Roman Empire." And then Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." And that's pretty harsh, yeah. Right? He doesn't say, "Get behind me, Simon." He could have used that old name, the name of his weakness. He doesn't say, "Get behind me, Peter." He says, "Get behind me, Satan. Because I know that this is where this source is. This is coming from the enemy. He wants me to not suffer. He wants me to believe that I don't need to go to the cross," right? That's exactly what it is. We've been talking about the price and the cost of our salvation. I'm going to, for some of you who weren't here last week, I won't point you out. Some of those people over there, but I mentioned last week that the price of our salvation is that it's priceless, right? I mean, that it's a gift, that salvation is a gift of God, that it can only be received by us, and all of the work and all of the price of it had to be paid for by the blood of Jesus. Right, Don? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? I knew you were going to get that right because you love that song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The price of our salvation is it's priceless. And there's nothing that we could do to add to it. There's nothing you can do to take away whatever bad you've done. There's nothing you can do, absolutely nothing, that can make you righteous in the sight of God the Father except for the blood of Jesus. Do you believe that? And that's what grace is. Again, talked about this a little bit last week. That's what grace is. Grace is entirely and essentially a gift where God says, here you go. Do you want to take this or not? It's a gift. Absolutely, she said. By the way, that's the right answer. Do you want to receive this? It is a gift. You cannot do anything for yourself. You cannot save yourself. You need to be saved. You need to be redeemed. And the only way that is possible is through Jesus. God himself needed to come down in the form of his son, in the form of a little baby who would grow up on this earth. And God himself needed to give his divine life so that we could be forgiven and saved. It is priceless. You get that? I don't want anyone walking out of here today saying, well, I think he was saying that we could do something about this, or we could pay towards this, or if I just worked a little bit harder, or went to more Bible studies, or gave more money, I'd be okay. You're not okay, okay? Everyone got that? You're not okay. The only way you're okay is through Jesus. It is without a price. It's beyond price. It's priceless. But that doesn't mean that there's no cost involved. There's still a cost involved in following Jesus. And the Bible makes that clear. Jesus makes it clear in the story that he tells in the passage we read today. There's still a cost involved. Even if you receive something that's priceless, sometimes there's a cost involved. For example, maybe someone gives you an amazing estate. They will it to you, or they hand it to you, and they go, here, I'm going to give you this amazing estate. It's worth millions of dollars, and it's got tennis courts and gardens, and it's got marble floors and amazing stairways, and I'm going to give this to you. It's price. You could never, ever afford it. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you because I love you. But there's still, even though the estate is priceless, there's still a cost involved because you need to take care of it. Because you represent the estate. So there's a cost involved in that. Someone needs to weed the garden. You can't afford the estate, but you still need to invest yourself in it. Does that make any sense? You follow that? So there's still a cost involved when we follow Jesus. And it's really the truth that we need to start telling people. I believe it's a lie when we tell people that they don't need to do anything and that we make it simple. And actually, I think it's sort of the same thing as Peter did. When Peter came to Jesus and he said, you know, Jesus, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to do all this hard stuff. You don't need, just relax. Just come. Just show up. Right? We that's kind of what we do. There's a lot of people who are candidates for Christianity. We say, well, just show up. Just come. Just be quiet. Maybe pay a little money if you have some, but you don't need to do anything. I think that's sort of the same thing that Jesus was saying to Peter, and it's not true. The truth is we have a cross that we need to carry. That if you're going to follow Jesus, and it's about time we start telling the truth. This is not going to be easy. If you think that all you need to do to become a Christian is just to show up, it isn't going to be easy. This is hard, becoming a Christian. This is a hard life that you choose when you receive what God offers you by grace. This is a hard life. You will be persecuted. You will face opposition. You will have to make choices in your life that are going to be very difficult choices and that you're going to make because you align yourself with Christ rather than this world. And it is not easy. It is not easy. A lot of times, and I don't know where this all came from, but a lot of times in the Christian church, we sort of told people, or at least we've inferred this to people, You know, all you need to do, folks, is everyone just bow your heads and close your eyes and no one watching. You've been in those services before, right? And now, if you wanna become a Christian, every eye closed, and the organ's playing, is just quickly now, just quickly put your hand up. Yep. I saw two there. Yep. All right. I'm not saying that can't be effective, and I'm not saying that we don't need to sometimes make a decision, and maybe that's a way for us to follow Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not what Jesus did. When I read in the book of Matthew, for example, when Jesus began his ministry and he came up to Simon and Andrew, and then he came up to James and John, and then a little later on he came to Levi, the tax collector, you know what he said to them? He said, follow me. Just follow me. And it says in the Word of God that they left everything and they followed him. That the fishermen left their nets and the brothers left their father and they followed him. I do not read in the Bible where Jesus says to Andrew and to Peter and to James and John, he said, hey, come and follow me. Are you guys going to follow me? Okay, let's all have a prayer a minute. Let's all, guys, bow your heads. If you're going to follow me, put your hands up. You got four guys putting their hands up. Good. That's not what happens. Again, I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but it isn't what Jesus does. What he does is he just simply says, you follow me. You do what I ask you to do. If you're going to follow me, that means you're going to go where I go. You believe that? Yeah. Follow me. The one thing that describes who we are as Christians is that we are followers. I believe that sometimes we have lost the significance of that term of who we are as followers. You're a follower. What does it mean that I'm a Christian? You know, some people would answer that question by saying, well, that means I'm an Episcopalian. Or I'm an evangelical, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Potterite. And all of those. But the truth is, that's really not the answer. The answer is, who am I as someone who is redeemed by God? Is I am a follower. I am a Christ follower, and that's it. And that's all that I need to be, and that's all that he requires of me. I am a Christ follower. Yeah, you can clap for that. I follow him. I follow Jesus, and I follow Jesus with those same Christians who go to Crossroads and to the First Baptist Church and who go to the Presbyterian Church. We follow Jesus together. And what does it mean? Like, I think we need to understand this, because if we're going to call people to this life that we so love, this life of belonging to Christ and being forgiven, what it really means is we got to tell people what it's going to cost. It's going to cost that you're going to have to follow Christ. Jesus said in this passage that if you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. And if you want to gain life, then you need to lose the life that you have. Let me just read it again so I get it exactly right. He says this. He says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Do you do that? Are we denying ourselves? Are we taking up our cross? Are we following him? Because that's what Jesus says we need to do. That there's going to be a cost involved in this. A lot of you know that, but again, like I said before, I think a lot of times when we talk to people, we make it sound like there's sort of a way to sugarcoat this so that they don't need to do this. But you need to give up your life. Last week I talked about Romans 12, verse 1, right? What does God require of you? Because of the mercy of God, he says, offer yourself, all of you, as a living sacrifice. Does anybody remember this from last week? Good, there's six of us. I like that. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, Paul says. You are the sacrifice. We no longer bring a sacrifice to God that would be a bull calf or a little lamb. You bring yourself to him and you say, here I am, God, it's all of me. I'm all in here. I want to follow you. I'm going to follow you wherever you lead. I'm going to go where you tell me to go. I'm going to love like you have shown me to love. I am yours. This is the sacrifice. Sometimes people, when they become a Christian, sometimes the question that they ask is, well, what's it going to cost? You know, before I commit to this, before I close my eyes and put my hand up, what's this going to cost? Now, I got bad news. If you think it's just going to cost you 10%. Because the truth is, it's going to cost everything. When we follow Jesus, it costs everything. It costs all of my time. It costs all of my money. It costs all of my devotion. It costs all of my love. Everything now that I have given my heart to Jesus, everything belongs to him. And every dollar, you know, if you want to talk about it financial, every dollar is his. It doesn't mean I never get to go buy a Kit Kat bar. But it does mean that I need to be responsible with everything that has been given to me. I am a steward of this world and of every resource that is in my hands, of every gift that he has endowed me with. I am a steward. I'm responsible for this. Sometimes we come to God and it's like we're saying, well, how little do I have to do to get in? Now, what's the bare minimum here? I got bad news for you if that's sort of where your heart is. Because the answer that Jesus says is you need to give everything. I want all of you. I don't just want a little part of you. I want all of you. I want everything. It's all mine. You are that living sacrifice. You are. It's mine. And to follow me, who would ever come after me, he says, whoever would come after me needs to lay down his life and follow me and take up his cross and take up his cross. That's a hard teaching. I can see some of you with perplexed looks on your faces, more perplexed than usual. Because this is a hard lesson, right? We got to be willing to die. We got to be willing to stand up for the truth. We got to be willing to promote justice where there's injustice. We got to stand up for the weak who can't stand up for themselves. We need to do that because that's what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. How many of you follow me on Twitter? Anyone follow me on Twitter? I'm not on Twitter, so that's all right. But today, you know, nowadays, we follow a lot of things, right? We follow, and a lot of the ways that we use that word follow nowadays in this modern world, that following is a real passive thing, right? I'm following you on Twitter, or I'm following you on, there's an Insta something, right? I'm following you on Instagram, and I'm following you on Facebook, and you know, we follow people just with this thing. And I want to tell you something this morning, that when Jesus said, come and follow me, this is not what he meant. He didn't say, guess what, here's what you can do. Just find a nice chair, get comfortable, and put your feet up, and just follow me. Okay, there's Jesus. I see where you're going, and oh, that's kind of cool. You see what he did there? You know, that's not what he meant, all right? We follow today. That word follow never had that meaning that we have it now today. Nowadays, following is a very passive thing. People sit in their couch and they're lazy boy and they put their legs up and they just follow and they think they're followers of who knows what. But here's what I want you to know today is that when Jesus said follow me, he meant follow me. He meant I want you to come. I want you to come. Deborah, you come up here. I want you to follow me. They got to see this. These people, they're not going to get it unless it's visual. So come on up. Pardon? Oh, yeah. Your mom said sit down. So now, okay, I want you to follow me. Okay? You're getting behind. You're getting behind. Isn't she a, she is a trooper. That's what it means, okay? That's what you need to see today. Really, the word means, literally, when Jesus said, follow me, he means, I want you to go in the same direction that I'm going in. And that's what it means to be a Christian. You understand that? It doesn't mean that you're an Episcopalian or a Presbyterian. It means that you are following where Jesus is going, that we have our eyes fixed on him, that when he veers to the right, I'm going to go to the right. When he goes to the left, I'm going to go to the left. This is what it means to follow. It's not just a figurative or a metaphorical thing. It's a literal thing. You follow me. And what I'm learning in my life, and actually Friday night was a great example of that at Lotus. I just prayed. I said, God, I just want to follow you tonight. So I want to follow you from this person to this person. I had a chance to pray for someone here and pray for someone here. And there's, it was just like, it was like Jesus was saying, okay, this is going to be fun. Come along. Why don't you come along for the ride? And so we would go, and there'd be, someone would just say something to me, and I would be thinking, I'm following Jesus, and he wants me to pray. So I would just pray. And then go to somewhere else. And again, as I followed Jesus, and I'm not saying I do this particularly well. I don't. I'm just learning this too. But I'm trying to listen. Yeah. I'm listening to him, and I'm realizing that this is an actual following of Jesus, that he is going where I want to go. Anita needed prayer this week. She was in the hospital. We prayed for her Thursday night. We had worship practice. It broke into a prayer meeting. It was one of the best prayer meetings I've been for a long time because we were trying to follow Jesus. You understand? And not follow him with an iPhone, but follow him with our hearts. And to know that, and this is really cool. I know I'm all over the place a little bit, but this is about the Holy Spirit. That we can follow Jesus so much more carefully and accurately today because he lives in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. He brings me to Dave when Dave's having a hard day. He brings me to Cal when Cal's working in the kitchen and he needs encouragement. Again, I'm not doing this enough, but I know what he wants me to do, right? This is what it's about when we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Right, Deb? Yeah. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And as I follow Jesus, he brings me to people and to places I never would have gone otherwise. Now get this part. He wants to do that in your life too. This isn't just for people who've gone to Bible school or seminary. This is for all of you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the ability to infer grace and mercy and healing power on people that you pray for. You believe that? Yes. And I know some of you. I know some of you, you're going, well, I just like to keep my hands in my pockets. I don't want to be too conspicuous around here. There's other people here who'll do that. Yeah, there are. But you're called to do it too. You've got a message. You know what story you have? You've got your story. And that's the story you got to tell. Now, sometimes, even as a follower or a Christ follower, you know, there are times in our lives, there have been times in my life where we've gotten off track. Anyone else ever done that? Yeah. So we want to do the Deborah thing. We want to follow. You know, we're doing that. We're going to follow. And here we go. I'm following. But we get diverted or something else attracts us. Or for some reason, we missed where we should have gone. And we should have zigged where we zagged. Does that make any sense? Right? So all of a sudden, something else has got our attention. And we're no longer following the Jesus. He's over the chair and he's down the road a little bit. We're going, wait a minute, what happened? I'm not following him. I'm on a rabbit trail I should not be on. Did you hear that? I'm where I should not be. Maybe there's a few of you here today, you know what I'm talking about. You know that you haven't been following Jesus as closely as you need to be. Maybe you've been just guided down a wrong road. Here's something that you need to know today. This is really vitally important. that Jesus never just keeps on going. He stops. And he says, I'm waiting for you. Thank God he doesn't just go, I'm just trucking along here. I'm making time. I'm trying to get my 10,000 steps. That's not Jesus. That's some of you. That's not Jesus. He will stop. And by the way, he has stopped for some of us. He stopped. And he says, I'm going to wait. I'm just going to wait for you. And I don't know how many times you want to do that lap, that terrible lap. I don't know how long you want to stay in that pit, that terrible pit, but you can stay there as long as you like. You want to keep doing that thing? You want to keep feeling sorry for yourself? You want to still be immersed in that self-pity or that unforgiveness or whatever it is that you're stuck in? That's okay. I'll wait for you. I'm just staying here. See, I didn't do that for Deborah. I just kept going, right? She had to keep up. Jesus never says, this is really important, he never says, you know what, you better keep up. If you don't keep up, you're done for. No. He's waiting. He just stands there and he waits. He says, I stand at the door and I just knock. He's waiting for you to realize that you're lost. To realize that you're just kind of going in circles. You know what happens when you go in circles? You know what that's like? It's like a toilet bowl. Right? It's time to get out of the toilet bowl. It's time to realize that you're in the toilet bowl and to see that Jesus is still there. It really is. But he, and again, I'm ending here, but what you need to understand is that when he says, Jesus doesn't say a lot of words, he just says, follow me. He means it. He means it for what it exactly sounds like. I want you to follow me. Not with your thumbs. I want you to follow me with your heart. I want you to go where I'm going. There's something really cool, if you've experienced this, where you go where Jesus is going. He brings you to a place you maybe wouldn't have gone before. He tests your faith, and you come out of it, and you go, that was amazing. Amazing things happened only because I was willing to go with Jesus into a place that I never was familiar with before. He says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. There is a cost to being a Christ follower. And the cost is everything. Everything. It's everything. Whatever you want, Jesus. All of me, all of my money, all of my time, my family, it costs everything to follow me, he says. But it's worth it. Amen? Is it worth it? Amen. Yeah, it's worth it. So, we're going to bow our heads, and I think we're going to sing that Jesus song in a minute, but I'm going to ask Don and Marg and Crystal if you'd come up here too, please. I just have a few people ready to, maybe Don Heineman, you want to come up here as well? Just have three or four people here that we want to give you an opportunity to just come to Jesus. Maybe there's a challenge that has affected your heart today where you know that you're not following him in this one area of your life, or you're not following him nearly as he wants you to. Crystal, you want to come too? Yeah. So we're going to bow our heads, and I'm just going to ask that the Holy Spirit will guide us now. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. And thank you that you live in our hearts in such a way that you show us where to go and that you lead. And just I pray right now that because you're also the Spirit who convicts the world of sin, sometimes you convict us, and that you can show us right now what we need to surrender to you or where we have not followed you. with all of us. Because our heart's desire right now is just to say to you, Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to go where you go. We want to love as you loved. We want to be as you were and as you are. We want to be obedient. And we want to be used by you. And we're willing today to just to lay down our lives. To lay down our ambitions, to lay down everything so that we can be entirely yours. We just want to listen to you.
I just invite you to come for prayer. There are people here more than ready to pray for you. As we sing this song, just sing it quietly with me. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Sing that again. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, just come on to the front. You need prayer today, just come. Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
You can't have all this world. Give me Jesus. In the morning, when I rise, he's waiting. In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. This world, just give me Jesus. Is there anyone here today who needs healing? Just come on up. Something's not right. Let's come to Jesus with it. You need healing today? Don't be afraid. Thank you, Jesus. Just come to Jesus. You've already been to the doctor. It's time to come to Jesus. Right? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can't have all this world. Give me Jesus. When I am I'm alone. Alvin, you want to come up and Paul in? When I, come on up, we need more prayers. I'm alone. Give me Jesus. Sing it. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. So I'm going to ask you all to just stand up. And extend your arms as we pray for people. Just extend your arms. Extend the healing power. And just come to the front if you're still waiting. He's still waiting for you. Jesus is still waiting. So give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have this world. Give me Jesus. And when I come to die, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Joseph, would you and Fortan come to the front? I think there's some people that need prayer from you today. You two brothers, you stand together right there. These men are powerful men of God. If you need God today, there's just something in your life. Bring it to Jesus. There we go. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Just come to the God. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. I just hear God saying that there's some of you struggling with uncertainty. You're struggling with uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen in your life. There's something that you need an answer for. Where better to go? Where better to go than to Jesus? Or maybe it's fear. You're just really afraid of something. Come to Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Jesus. In the morning. In the morning. When I rise. In the morning. When I rise in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have Give me Jesus. I just really believe there's still, there's people here, you're struggling with your health. I can just feel it. I can just sense that God's saying it. Just come. There's something wrong. Something's hurting. Something's broken. Just come to Jesus. Maybe it's your eye. Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy burdened. So if you're heavy burdened today, there's something heavy on your heart, come to Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can't have all this world. Give me Jesus. Let's all sing it now. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. When I'm alone. And when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, give me Jesus. Raymond and Karen, is it okay if we pray for you guys? Can we pray for you? I don't want you to go without prayer today. Come on up. I'm sorry to... We'll come to you. We'll come to you. You need prayer today. Pauline, would you go pray for them? Just ask them if it's okay. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Sing it with me. Give me Jesus. I just declare healing today over you. I declare healing in the name of Jesus. I declare that Jesus loves you and that he wants you to be well. You hear me? He wants you to be well. And he is Jesus. He is your Savior. And he loves you. Amen. We're just going to end today. And I know this seems strange or weird, but as you leave, I want you just to find someone and ask them a simple question. How can I pray for you? And we're going to all pray, the whole body. And if you got to go, you got to go. But you are commissioned. You are a follower. You are a follower of Jesus. So as we leave, you have his permission. You don't need my permission. You have his permission to build up the body, to pray for each other. It's a simple question. How can I pray for you? And this is God's blessing to us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Just pray with the person next to you. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Spoke a word, you were singing over me.